On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
What was that? Was it a marching band somewhere back there? Snare drum.
Yep. Forgot to pull the mic up before checking my notes.
What a fucking amateur.
See the beginning of part one of our playoff preview show.
Yeah, that will suddenly no longer be edited out.
That's right. It's back in there now.
Oh, I got 10 thumbs.
Guy
I
don't know can't figure out how to work a pair of headphones.
Well, it's not the headphones.
Sure.
Let's grab the knob. Give it a rub. Twist it.
Right now?
Twist it.
Part two of the playoff preview show on... See, you can't blame me for talking over your beer opening fiasco when you just start fucking right into it while I'm talking. That's how you do that.
Yeah. Well, I see.
Bong, bong.
What a savvy veteran over there. I'm enjoying the switch to the steam whistle in the bottle.
Yeah. You should. It's quality beer.
No, I'm just... You know, the whole change up on the opening
of
the can.
It's classy to drink from the bottle as opposed to the can.
Well, and honestly, who doesn't love this?
Yeah.
Ting, ting.
I got a couple beers in my hand. Not one for you, but...
if you missed it, well, you might be late at this point, but you can check out part one of the playoff preview show in the archives on whatever podcast app you're listening on or tallcanaudio.com.
Well, and you should listen to it because it's informative.
Right.
It's what we like to call edutainment.
Edutainment. Exactly. So those are the five Wednesday night series. Those are now behind you. We move into the three...
Look to the future.
The three Thursday night series. And...
With some must-see TV here, I'm liking the entertainment value on all three of these series.
Yeah, there is some intrigue. There is some entertainment value to be had there. I think we'll start in Chicago. Perennial powerhouse, year after year, somehow they continue to get it done. They just it's like a fucking snake that just sheds its skin.
Yeah.
And the brain keeps going. And
you know what? Not... You know, specifically involving tonight's series, but it's what I do. Mm-hmm. You look at the difference with Dean Lombardi and Daryl Sutter getting released in L.A.
Ooh, see ya.
Okay, right. Two years removed from a cup win, right? That sort of stuff. Whereas they've been battling with the same problems that Chicago has faced, yet Chicago has somehow managed to get by on that.
Well, how about this? Still, like $25 million left on a Jonathan Quick contract for like another 6 years.
Okay, and that's the one they probably want you to look at.
Yeah,
Dustin Brown?
They've still got 10 years on Kopitar. No one expects him to be this bad,
right?
Like he was this year.
Mike Richards, they're paying till 2035 or something along those lines, right?
Terrible. So you're right, though. You lock up the wrong parts of your core.
Well,
you throw Mike Richards under a bus, and you try to save Voinov after beating his wife from.
And they could have paid. They could have bought out Richards, or Brown, right? But instead, they stayed loyal to those guys.
Terrible.
Yeah, and it's cost Dean Lombardi his job. Whereas you look at Chicago on the flip side, has a couple of those long-term freakish contracts.
They've been cutthroat.
Okay, but they're long-term pre sort of last lockout.
Yep.
Are Weber, not Weber,
nope.
Keith, sorry.
Yep.
Manageable.
Yep.
And Hossa.
Yep.
And you look what Hossa continues to do for them, right, to me. And then they stumble across a couple of nice, you know.
Another Schmaltz, I believe.
Panarin.
Panarin is a great one. Brought in Anisimov, who has solidified things for them.
This is it, right? And so to me, the way things have, there's a little bit of luck.
Yep.
Right? In terms
sure
of,
there is.
And then there's, you know, good management.
But you just keep like seven pieces, right? It's Kane, it's Taves, it's Keith, it's Seabrook, it's Hossa, it's
and
Crawford.
And again, you see all over the place, it's the pieces you choose to keep.
Yep. And just let it all go. Let everything else go. Bring guys in to fit around that piece and just keep rebuilding around that. So they go into this, again, I would imagine as the favorites. This is the worst possible draw for Nashville. They thought they made all the right moves over the last year, year and a half.
Terrible start.
When you think about bringing in last year, Ryan Johansson, to kind of give them finally a number one center.
A nice 1-2 punch with Forsberg.
Well, he's a winger, right?
And so but that's what I mean, though, in terms of that.
So you're looking at having that as your top line. And then you go out and you trade the longest-serving Predator ever, your captain, to bring in Subban.
From a position of strength, though, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Yossi, Ellis, Subban now back there, right? Just in terms of what they're able to swing.
And so by all accounts, though, Subban has had only an okay year, right? And so, but this was supposed to be that bust out year. We've got Johansson, we've got Subban, and we're ready to go. We're ready to. Laviolette is not quite as defensive minded as Trotz was.
That was a deal that they thought he's going to be moving from the Therrien system a little bit more stifling.
Well, Trotz system.
No, Subban.
Oh, yes.
Is what
sorry.
I was talking about.
I meant the team.
Yeah, no. And as he came down and under Laviolette, right, then he's going to flourish there.
Right.
And that whole system is, but you look at the first half and Pekka Rinne, right, with what's
middle of the road, all his stats,
right,
kind of middle third and everything.
But much better second half than the first half.
Yep. So you look at that and you go, this was our year to bust out. This is, and somehow you end up in the fucking wild card going, we're looking at Chicago again. So they've played Chicago twice before, 2010 and 2015. Both years, Chicago goes on to win the cup.
The two wild card spots were Calgary.
Calgary. So Calgary's going to play Anaheim.
Right. So the Blues, sorry, that's a part that I was working my
head. Yeah, 2-3 over in the other.
Right. The Blues had actually, with their late season push, had pushed up into the 3 seed in the division, right?
Got ahead of Nashville.
Right.
And so they've faced each other twice before, and most people will tell you the most devastating loss in Predator franchise history is that 2010 matchup. And in game four, or game five, series is tied at 2. The Preds are leading 3-2 with less than a minute to go, and Hossa serving a 5-minute major. Patrick Kane scores shorthanded to tie it up. In overtime, Hossa gets out of the box. He scores the winner instead of going home.
Of course he does.
Yeah, instead of going home up 3-2, you go home down 3-2, and Chicago finishes that off, goes on to win the cup. So there is a bit of a history here. There is a rivalry here, even if people don't think about it. That division, right, has become, over the years, and this year it wasn't quite the same, but there's been a lot of good teams. When you think about the Red Wings, the Blackhawks, the Blues, the Predators, that have been good for a while. At times, the Stars. And, you know, this has got a little bite to it, probably more than people would think. I wonder.
Well, and as we said, their poor start, their poor first half. Right, they came from back of the pack in the second half of the season, right?
Yep.
To forge the way into this, they just need to look at the beginning of the season, right? And I don't like Chicago. To me, is way too deep and way too talented. In terms of, you look at their D. The last time they won the cup, they were swinging with just the 3D, right? And now you look with the. With bringing back Johnny Oduya,
yep.
Solidifies that top four, right, with Seabrook,
TVR turns into kind of a decent third pair guy.
Look at you. Yeah.
Well, yeah. He has, though.
I know, that's, but yeah. I just never.
You don't call him that?
I don't know. Yeah.
All right.
Only a Leaf guy would do that.
Teehee.
So to me, yeah, but they are much stronger on the back end now than they were the last time they won a cup.
I think the thing that most people don't realize is this core is older than a lot of people, especially with the amount of hockey that they've played. So Kane and Taves, Kane, by the way, 121 points in 128 playoff games. That's not bad.
Hey, pretty good.
Under 31. But in terms of their important guys, Hossa and Keith and Seabrook, guys that have put a lot of miles on, especially you start including World Cups and Olympics and shit like that.
Keith and Seabrook, they got to just be a couple years older than.
Well, I think 35 for Keith, I believe. And so, I mean, really? It's starting to catch up. And the miles are on, right? And these guys, two of them anyway, that played the World Cup. I think I'm taking Nashville in this series.
You would be wrong.
Well, we'll see. But the big part of the goal differential between the two teams, Nashville makes up like 30 goals on the open net. Like Chicago has like 23 more goals than Nashville in an empty net situation, like something crazy like that. Like when you start to look at it.
Yeah. But to me, I look at.
Taves hasn't had a very good year.
Yeah, but he's had a much better second half.
Yeah, Kane's had an okay year.
Honestly, at Christmas time, people are saying, oh, look at that guy. Way too much hockey, washed up at 30.
Is he going to be Mike Richards, right? Oof. Well, maybe without the alleged meth. It's the alleged meth. Yeah.
To me, professional winners. You know what? Maybe you can sell me on that three rounds in, like a Western Conference final or wherever, a division final. I don't like Nashville's chances in round one.
So to me, this is a coin flip in seven games, but I have to pick one, and I'll take Nashville in that situation. But to me, it's a long series.
Yeah, and I have Hawks in six.
So you don't have it quite as long as I do in so many regards.
To me, I think 7-4. Those are sort of, it's bold to go with the sweep.
Sure.
And seven is so. To me, ballsy.
Seven is what? The cop out?
Okay. No, I'm not pointing out you as.
It's
still a ballsy call. That's, you're saying, I don't know, so I'm going to say it's going to be seven.
I think it's that tight.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I just think those are rare. Those are rarer than you'd think. So, no, I'm going Hawks in six.
Okay. So there you go. If you're playing along at home, Rob's got Hawks in six. I got Preds in seven.
Which is, to me, it's a ballsy call. On your part.
Yep.
Not on mine.
No, the Hawks are an easy kind of.
Yeah. No, and that's what I'm saying.
There's a reason for that.
To me, I've gone with the easier pick. You have
right.
You have made a bold move, my man.
All right.
Soon to look foolish again. But that's
my playbook, man. That's what I do.
You know what? High risk, high reward, baby. That's how that goes.
Right. As we move into the other Western series that we have left, to me, this one is going to be fun. And we talked a little bit about one of these shows not too long ago about seeing some people picking Calgary to go right through to the final. I'm not quite that brash yet, but I do think if you'd asked me to have these two teams face each other a year ago, I've got Anaheim in a tap dance. I don't think that's the case anymore. And you look at the season that both Perry and Getzlaff scoring under 20 goals. And what Calgary started to build and with the defense that they have, man, Brian Elliott won six of his first 24 starts with Calgary, and he has a .930 save percentage since the All-Star break. So they are hot as hell at the right time.
I think you look at that Kessler-Silverberg line, right? I don't know who runs the other side of that. It's escaped.
Well, I think Raquel's gone up and down. He's played with Getzlaff and Perry a bit, but I think he goes back and
forth. To me, they're going to be on Gaudreau and Monahan like nobody's business.
Yep. Right? No, it's true.
And to me, they will nullify that, right? And I don't know. I think is Perry on the other side of that? It doesn't matter. All I'm suggesting is, to me, it's going to come down to, do you like Gibson better than Elliott?
No. Gibson has never made it out of the first round as a starter. They've either been eliminated or he's been pulled.
Okay. And you know what? Yeah. To me, there's not a whole pile of history there, right? When we looked at at Freddie Anderson there last year and Gibson, and they went, okay, cutting Anderson loose, and we're going with Gibson.
Yep.
Right? Everybody is very high on Gibson's potential, right?
Yep.
But
up
until the last month, I haven't seen it.
Well, and the other thing is...
But very hot in the last month.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And Bernier before that was very good, right?
As, if it gets to Bernier, we're all in trouble.
Well, he was pretty good for them, right? And I can't imagine it was any fun for Randy Carlyle to get rehired by another NHL team, look down and go, I got to fucking tap that guy on the shoulder again?
Again?
Fire me now, right? But to me, there's some interesting
Where's Justin Pogge?
You know, if you had to take a stab at how many goals Ricard Raquel scored this year.
At 25.
33.
Okay.
Maybe the quietest 30-goal scorer in the league.
Outside
like, that's a name that people barely
know. Is that Max Pacioretty?
Yeah, fuck him, though.
Yeah, I know, but, man, 35 goals. When I came across that, I was like,
what? Chara should have finished the fucking job on that guy.
Oh. Whoop.
Whoops. Yeah. Yeah, you know what? And that's a guy that slides up and down their lineup, plays with Getzlaff, plays with Kessler. This is when, and maybe for the last time, that Kessler contract looks okay because they've got him for like another 5 years.
Yeah, yeah, no.
But this is his time of year, right? And
when he signed that contract, he was going to be more than a checking center, right?
Laughable, though. Laughable contract, and we mocked it relentlessly on this show.
Right.
And we were right to do so.
Yes, we were, but we're talking about... You know, tools at hand, utilizing him in a role that is he's best suited for. I like what that line is going to be able to do to neutralize Monahan and Gaudreau.
Well, so they are experienced, right? They've made the playoffs 11 out of the last 14 years. But since the reins were handed to that new breed, to the Getzlaff-Perry era, they have only made the conference final twice.
You mean without Solani and... Whoever else was
Chris Pronger was a fairly Scott Niedermeyer.
Niedermeyer, Beauchemin. Yeah. Is Beauchemin still there? Did he go back there?
Beauchemin went back there, but then went to Colorado.
Okay, right. And, yes, I saw that.
But they're also going to start this series without Cam Fowler.
Thank you, Mark Giordano. How fortuitous is that?
But they will have Sammy Vatanen. You know, they've got some, but their blue line won't match Calgary's blue line with,
guy that sounds like Klefbom, but isn't Klefbom.
Ekholm.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Or Ekbom. Or
Ekbom, I think.
Ekholm, I think is Nashville.
Bagbom.
Bagbom.
A little utter rub.
Giordano and Hamilton.
Sorry about that.
You could make an argument looking at the statistics was the best number one pair in the second half of the season. So
how about?
Do you think it's that simple that it comes down to Elliott versus Gibson? I mean, it's never quite that simple, but do you think that's the largest storyline of play here?
I don't like Brian Elliott as a starting goalie at all. And you know what? They have
Chicago in round one last year.
I think in the beginning of the season. I don't know if there was a worse goaltending tandem than Calgary's.
Right.
And then there was a stretch here in the last 6 weeks where I'm not sure there was a better one.
He was over 930 and, like I said, well, they went 6-24 to start.
I think they went 10 in a row without a loss, I think, in the month of March.
Without a regulation loss, yeah.
Yeah. So to me, that...
like you said, when do you get hot, right? When do you...
Right. And so it's been such a season of runs of wins followed by losses for everybody. Yep. You can go across the board with 10 teams probably and go,
right.
Look at almost double-digit wins and huge, you know, 6, 7, 8 losses. To me, it comes to, it does come down to that. Okay. I like Ducks in 6.
Yeah, I got Flames in 6.
Look at us.
To me, this might be the closest series of all of them.
Well, and to me, this will have...
Weird,
I think this has the this has the potential to have fireworks.
Yeah. Because when you look back, Flames have only made it twice in the last 8 years. That was in 2015. And it's got a little bit of that Leafs in 2013 to it where you had an okay year and then you get in and somehow you get to play Vancouver, who was also just happy to be there. You beat them and then you'd get just smoked down by Anaheim in the second round to sweep, right? They didn't belong there in 2015, but you give some of those guys a couple more years.
And we will see what Elliott's going to bring here. But to me, this is an interesting one, and I think it's going to be a really, really good one.
And you know, and before we hit the final series of the first round, to me, the first round, I think my interest level drops accordingly. Without a team in the race, like I said, let's just say the Bruins upset the Senators.
That's a hell of an upset. They are the lower seed, so
My interest traditionally, like, let's say last year with no Ottawa in the
second round.
I love the first round. The first round, for sure.
It's every night, and there's multiple games, and
the storylines are rich, and everybody just wants to get out of the first round, and then you go, okay, anything's possible. Let's take a look around.
16 down to 8, right? Just like that, right? And I mean, it sounds simple, but holy fuck, that's a huge.
Right, and then you look around and go, all right. Why not?
Yeah.
Right? But so it's everything in. It's just pushing all the chips in, and it's passionate. There's fighting. There's hitting. It's just.
Yeah.
Everything. And then it just seems to get.
The second round's kind of a dog.
Well, and it gets a little more steely, right, the further you go along, because everyone's like, okay, now, second.
We got a shot at this. Yeah.
Third round. I don't want to F this up.
Right.
Right? So I'm working at this. Right? Whereas in the first round, everything goes. Everything goes. And to me, it is the Calgary-Anaheim after the Giordano on Fowler.
Yeah.
That has all the potential to be very interesting, right, in terms of.
Well, and so, you know, like you said, it's kind of one of those things as a guy who hasn't had a horse in the race for years, right?
Right.
You
know better than anybody else.
Can't get enough. The second round, it's like, these matchups don't quite matter as much. It's not quite as heated. But come conference final and certainly cup final, it's ramping back up again, right? Like you said, that second round is kind of, let's just get through this. And we're kind of tiptoeing through. We survived that, and let's just get through this. Yeah. And it lacks a little something, right? And then you get down to that final four, and it starts to pick right back up again. So,
first round is the best hockey of the year.
Absolutely, that's
right.
True.
By the time you get to the final, it may be the most interesting in terms of outcome, but what you are seeing at that point is.
Yeah,
two teams who have just been through the ringer.
Yeah.
So to me, this is a great time of year for a hockey fan.
Absolutely. Last one, Maple Leafs and Capitals kick it off on a Thursday night. You mentioned on our last show the Sens getting no love. The Leafs are getting a ridiculous amount of love, given what an underdog they are in this series. And I like Babcock. He's been playing some mind games here a little bit, or trying, saying, man, pressure's great when you're not the team who has it. Referring to, you know, Washington has had some early exits here recently. They have 11 either RFA or UFAs at the end of this season. So this is it. And I don't think anyone can argue that management team has set them up as well as they possibly could.
This is the year.
This is the best team they have ever had. And they have a coach to do it. They have a goalie to do it. You're not just counting on one line anymore. And all those things that go along with it in terms of being the heavy favorite, if you're a Leaf fan, one of those things you have to count on, hopefully, is the pressure getting to them a bit.
Well, and you know what? They have to love the addition of Shattenkirk in Washington.
He's on their third pair.
Okay, well, and I heard today that they say
number one power play.
They're not sure that Carlson's going to be able to play game one.
That's right.
Right? So that's a great insulation. If you can have Shattenkirk on your third pair, right? And in between, you got Alsner.
Yeah, no, Orlov is going to play that, like. They have a decent defense core. They really do. What's the other guy's name? Used to be in Pittsburgh. Physical guy.
Orpik.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did you already say that? Sorry.
No, I didn't already say that. But because as soon as I went, they got Carl Alsner. And then it was like gap. You know, and all those other guys.
Right. And so at time of recording this on Tuesday, this may have been updated, but as of Tuesday...
Tuesday afternoon, John Carlson is saying he's not sure he can go game one.
And there was no sign of Zaitsev or Polak obviously they're not John Carlson, but you're firing cannons out of a canoe, you need every part of that canoe, right?
Well, and blunderbust out of a canoe may be better describing Toronto's. Because to me, that is the weakest spot on the Leafs to begin with.
Right.
It is, for
and,
sure.
And you are taking out two starters. I'm well, not sure and, where Zaitsev
is
and
a top
Polak.
Pair.
Okay.
Polak is a bottom pair. But either way, you okay, pull so any piece
a,
of that.
A two and a five, a two yeah. and a six?
Yeah.
Right?
You
so,
just have no way to make that up. You're going to be putting in.
So you are facing the likely the most potent. Right, I don't know where yep. Washington's power play ranks,
well,
but it's
so
in the top three.
Two of the top three power plays facing each other. It's okay. number two versus number three.
And what are the PK stats?
PK is, they're both, right, I think, I may have this reversed, but it's Toronto 10, Washington 10, Toronto 12
okay.
on the PK. So reasonably even on the special teams front, the head-to-head matchup this year saw Toronto go 1-1-1.
Which saw Washington go 2-1, I think. Yeah?
Yes. And so, but Toronto chased Holtby twice and lost once in overtime and won once. And then the most recent, which was only 2 weeks ago and seems to be the only one that people remember, is Washington defeating Toronto pretty soundly.
4-2, though, wasn't it?
4-1, I believe.
4-1.
Toronto on the back half of a back-to-back facing McElhinney. You know, to me, I it's hard to understand because I don't think we're chasing Holtby in this series, right? Like, I don't see that happening again. He has a ridiculous playoff save percentage. Washington's the favorite here. There's no doubt. To me, and I'm curious about what you think here, I think if, given the pressure that Washington's under, this is their year, this is go-for-it time, if Toronto could grab one of two in Washington, giddy up. Now we're... Maybe Washington still comes back and beats, but to me, now you start to go, well, things are puckering a little here, right, on the Washington side.
Yeah.
I've got Washington in six, but I think if one of those wins comes in Washington in game one or two, look out.
See, I have Washington in five, and really, that's not a, I don't throw that five out there like it's a,
right.
a total slight on the Leafs. You look at between Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Bozak, JVR, Kadri, right? They have statistically, season-wise, they can score.
Yep.
Right?
Offensively, we can keep up.
To me, this comes down to, and it's going to sound strange, and you may even balk at it. To me, it's an ability. They got a couple years under Trotz,
mm-hmm.
right, running that system. Toronto, with all those young guys... I think they have a tendency to not always follow the Babcock system.
Yep.
They get outside themselves.
A little bit.
I find the D, which was already suspect to begin with.
Yep.
And if you throw any kind of...
Either one of those two. Like people will laugh saying, oh my God, we're missing Polak. No, take that seriously.
Yeah,
oh
no.
Oh my God, we're missing Polak. Well,
and this is what I'm saying is
yeah.
is a defense that's already
yep.
sort of, we already talked about it, bottom sixth of the league.
Yep.
You are now taking out two of your top six. I don't know. Maybe they got somebody better in the Marley system. I have no idea.
No. We are not loaded down with defensive prospects, or you'd have seen them by now.
So to me, when you look at those specialty teams and the potential soft, right? Toronto's in big. I give an edge, obviously, to Holtby. I say obviously, but yeah, I to me, while he hasn't done a pile perhaps in the playoffs.
Any reason to read anything into the fact that the Leafs have been able to chase him twice, or just?
Well,
I know you didn't see it, but
yeah, no, but certainly I'm not like all those other people who feel that there's nothing to be learned from regular season success.
Right.
To me, even if you lose one of those games, if you're chasing their starter,
yeah,
you've done something right.
Yeah.
So to me, yeah, there's absolutely something in that. I just think that what's coming back with Ovechkin, Backstrom, Oshie, Kuznetsov
yeah, just Williams. Man, Williams is clutch in the playoffs.
Too much,
right?
Too much stuff coming back the other way with the state of the Leafs' D.
When you look at Washington's fourth line with Jay Beagle and Daniel Winnick, they have no problem throwing that line out against a team's number one line. And what that does is wreak havoc on your matchups, right?
Yeah.
You've now put your best players out against their fourth line. And that means they're free to put one of their top two out against your fourth line.
Yeah.
And you don't want that, right?
And any good team That's what you have to have, right?
Yeah.
You have to have that confidence in that fourth line to do that.
Yeah.
Right? And so to me, it's no slight on the Leafs, right? The Bruins and the Senators, the three teams who are all sort of mixing around in that,
sure,
in that race, nobody wants to end up here because none of the three teams have – they would all be fodder, I think, at this point,
yep,
in the first round, for,
yep,
sure.
Yeah, Washington, if they're going to shit the bed, if they're going to succumb to the pressure, more likely against Pittsburgh in round two, right?
Right.
Like
Ovi versus Sid,
right now,
straight up.
They're ready to flex their muscle and go, hey, we're fucking here. And
yeah, and they want to get out. They want to hit the ground running.
Yeah.
Right?
And so that's why I do think if Toronto could grab one of those first two, that's their only chance. If they're coming home 0-2, normally the adage, and I fully subscribe to it, is you're not in trouble till you lose at home. I think if Toronto has any chance of getting through this, which, yeah, is low, got to grab one of those first two and hope that that tenses up Washington.
And I think if you are – nobody wants to lose the first two. And I agree with you.
Yeah.
But if you're only playing three at home,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
you need to grab. Grabbing one of those two doesn't guarantee you shit.
No.
But it's certainly not grabbing one of those two with only three.
Shit.
which is certainly giving us a great chance of shit happening. Yeah.
To us.
Yes, exactly. Not, it's unfortunate.
Yeah, yeah. No, so, it's...
Caps in five.
Okay, I got Caps in six.
Okay.
So, that's it. Like I said, you can check out on tallcanaudio.com or the archives of whatever podcast app you're using. Part one of this, where we broke down the other five series. I don't know. To me, this is... There's some fun matchups here this year. And
for sure there is.
Yeah.
And to me... obviously, with your Leaf Bend, right? That's you're most intrigued in, and I'm obviously interested in the Ottawa series the most.
Yeah.
I'm very interested in the Toronto Washington series.
Even if that goes four straight for Washington, you know those are going to be four fucking.
I want to see the Leafs get smashed, but I am also okay. I really do.
Yeah, of course you do.
And to me, yeah, love of your own team and hate of somebody else's team, those are they're very close.
Yes.
Right? And so
it's primal.
But to me, I'm not a huge Caps fan. Right now, they're not in Leaf territory.
Yeah.
But you know what? If the Leafs could somehow, you know, put the screws a little bit.
Wouldn't be the worst thing.
If they pushed the Caps in some way, man.
So something to keep in mind, if this series goes five games, if Toronto just wins one, and this is a reason for, even if you hate the Leafs, reason to hope they win one, it forces Washington to cancel a Chris Brown concert at the Verizon Center in Washington, D.C. And fuck that guy.
I was going to say, is Chris Brown still touring? Honestly, what the hell is up with that?
It'd be nice to see him being the one getting punched out for once, right?
So, yeah.
And a great tweet I saw. It's not accurate at all, but if the Leafs can force this to six games... they'll probably get to face the Caps without Kuznetsov, Ovechkin, and Orlov as they'll miss their flight to the World Championships. So,
okay,
that's all we got to do, man. But yeah. No, you're right. So, but there's some great series here. To me, Calgary Anaheim is going to be awesome
for sure. I want to see the fireworks there. Yeah,
yeah, that's going to be awesome. And Edmonton is going to be
very
fun to watch.
Interested in Edmonton, San Jose.
So we are kind of the Canadian centric there a little bit. But 5 of 7 teams after what was it? Only one last year.
None
getting in. That's right. So lots to watch. Should be, as you mentioned earlier, awesome first round. So that's part two of the playoff preview on Tall Can Sports. We'll see you down the road.
See ya.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.